minute late. Turn to page 97 in your book. 97. Let's stand as we sing this first song tonight together. 97. We have heard the joyful sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the gladness all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the ways. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Waft it on. The winds, a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hill and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. That's beautiful. You may be seated. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time. Good to see everybody on this Wednesday night. Who's got a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Spoken or unspoken? Yes, sister. So maybe they're making some progress there. Anybody else tonight? Yes, Joe. Okay, Joe. Brenda. Okay. Yes, Brenda. Stacy. Okay. Yes, Helen. Unspoken. Okay. Yes. Jesse. It's a sad day. And I've got many. You know I sell insurance and I deal with a lot of sick people. And I've got a lot of sick clients right now. So with major illnesses. So please remember those families. Anybody else tonight? John and Becky. Yeah. Little Becky. She takes a step forward and two steps back. And I think we've all been there before. So remember that. David Seals, remember him. Jack Brooks, remember him. They're all getting ready to have surgeries. Tony Tipton. On Tony. Okay. Don't forget Tony Tipton. Okay. I knew that was coming. Okay. All right, so we got a lot of things to pray about. Chris, you come on up tonight, buddy. Our blessed Lord, tonight we bring everything to you, laid at your feet, which is what you want us to do. We've got many prayer requests in our church tonight, Lord. You
We know you can, you're the great physician. We know you can heal their bodies if it be your will. And that's how we pray tonight. God, we ask you to feed us the word of God tonight through Gene. You've prepared a message for us, and may we all take it in our hearts. It'll make us better tomorrow when we go out in this world. For this offering may be used for your honor and your glory. In your name we'll give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Another one tonight. You can remain seated. It's 157 in your book there. 157. It's a great way to live your life. Trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but His smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. And obey.
Come on, brother.
Now I'm struggling tonight. I can't hear at all out of this ear. I don't know what's going on. Something in the electrical part. And this side, my hearing aid's broken, and so the stem's out of it, and I have to keep pushing it in to even hear myself. So if you can't hear me tonight, just raise your hand and I'll try to talk louder. I feel like I'm in a hole. And so I'll do the best I can. This has been going on for about a month. And they don't know what to do about it. So right now, I'm in limbo as far as hearing. That's not a bad thing sometimes. It can work to your advantage. We were sitting about here talking about this piano, getting rid of it. Tom and I, selling it. Nobody plays it. I remember one time his church had a deacon meeting. And a deacon got up and said, I think we should buy a new chandelier. And the deacon beside of him said, well, he said, I think we need some new lighting. We don't have anybody here to play a chandelier. So I thought of that when I looked at that piano. Sometimes we just don't know what we're talking about. I used to go to state meetings, national meetings, of Free Will Baptist, Southern Baptist, the Methodist Church, to learn how to build a church. I mean, you know, you get with people smarter than you, you figure that they've got it all together. And so this guy would get up and he'd say what he was doing to build his church. And then another guy in another group would tell you what he's doing to build his church. And so when you heard about 8 or 10 of them, then you try to put it all together and build your church when you got back home. But after a while, I found out going to big meetings like that, you hear some good preaching. I mean, there's some good preachers out there. There's some bad ones, I agree with you. But there's some good preachers out there. I've heard some good preachers. My wife's aunt got saved in front of the TV listening to Charles Stanley when she was up in years. And when you go to her home, she'd let you know she got saved. She'd let you know who was preaching. And she loved Charles Stanley. Billy Graham. He couldn't tell you how to build a church, but he could win souls. We've lost sight of that. I heard all these requests tonight. I didn't hear one request. And if I missed it, I'm sorry. I didn't hear one request of some asking the church to pray for somebody lost. It was all about sickness. I remember years ago, not many years ago, that people get up in church and call out names of people lost. But we don't know nobody lost. We don't run in circles to hear people lost. And I'm going to tell you two things before we get in the message. The Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Amen. Now listen to this. Back when I pastored, we would meet on Monday morning and we would talk about how many got saved on Sunday. They don't do that anymore. Nobody's getting saved. I'm talking about the churches that run 200 and 300. They're not seeing anybody walk the aisle. Now listen to this. The Bible says that Noah preached righteousness for 120 years. Nobody got saved. And then he said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Now, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that we're living in the days of Lot. The perversion in this country overshadows the perversion of Lot's day. I just turned on the news tonight that the big thing in our government in Tennessee right now is whether third and fourth grade children can have transgender surgery and insurance pay for it. That's the big thing on the news tonight. I just listened to it and heard it. And then this Democrat came on and said, well, the Republicans are going to get this in, but then we're going to turn around and get it out. Now, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican. That doesn't bother me. I go with the individual. I'm not a party man. Never have been. Raised in a home, in a two-party home. My mom was a diehard Republican. My dad was a diehard Democrat. I'm neither one. If my daddy were alive today and see what's going on in the government, he would roll over in his grave. My dad was a Democrat. We don't have Democrats, Republicans anymore. You can forget the two-party system. It's all about the almighty dollar. The almighty dollar is controlling this country. The news media is controlling the minds of people. Social media is controlling the minds of our children. And we're in trouble tonight, and we're under the hand of God. And I tell you what we better do. We better fasten down our hatches, because rough times are coming. Remember where you heard that. God is going to pass judgment on this country if it ain't already started. Right. Now, the model church. You know, you would think in the 20th century, 21st century, that there would be a model church. There's big old mega churches out there, you know. They've got all these programs going. You got the TV churches going on and big. And you got little churches that are struggling. Well, where's the model church? Is it the church at Corinth? No. Is it one of the seven churches in Revelation? No. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to show you the model church. You know, I realize we live in a society that believes the Bible is outdated. But I'm going to tell you something. You open your Bible when you watch the news and you see how outdated it is. You'll see that God's more up to date than the news is. And so you would think and know that if the church is founded on Christ, that he would have a model of it. And so it is in 1 Thessalonians, the model church. If you want to know what kind of church to pattern after this church. I'm going to read the whole chapter, and then we're going to break it down. Now, you will notice in the model church, the building is never mentioned. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. The temple had specific layouts to be laid out. The tabernacle, specific. But when you get to the church, the building is not mentioned. Synagogues are mentioned. That's not the church. The building is not mentioned. Because the church is not concerned with the building. The building is not the called out believers. The Bible says that we're all the temple of the Holy Spirit. And collectively, we make up the called out believers, which is the church. It doesn't matter if you meet in the woods. It doesn't matter if you meet out back. Doesn't matter if you meet on top of the building. Doesn't matter if you meet inside the building. The building is not the important issue. Now, down through the years, I've sat in a lot of meetings of churches. And a lot of the problems existed in what to do with the building. The color of the carpet. The kind of pews. I pastored one church that was so old that they still had the square head nails holding the pews together. And somebody go in every Sunday morning and nail those nails down so they wouldn't rip somebody's clothes. They were so much in love with that building that they wouldn't have changed it if hell would have froze over. And people are that way.
Right.
See, we forgot the model is not found in the building. It's not the beautiful and the gorgeous buildings. Some of the most beautiful buildings in the world are cathedrals. My grandson has had the privilege to visit some of them in Germany and places over there. He's in the Air Force. And he's sending back pictures that are immaculate. But it doesn't matter about the building.
Right.
It can be beautiful outside and dead inside, like a lot of churches. So let's look at the model church. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy and to the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, for making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. Those are three cardinal virtues of the Christian. The three cardinal virtues. Peace, love, and hope. They supply the three greatest evidences of the Christian life. So keep that in mind. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but in power and in Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Archaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Archaia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Now there are seven things mentioned there in those verses that have to do with the model church. And I'm going to deal with them. The first one is found in verse 10. Notice the latter part of verse 10. They were saved from the wrath and the anger of God. Now I'm going to tell you something. God's anger is being kindled out right now upon this nation. But you and I, as believers, are saved from the wrath of God. Aren't you glad tonight that you're not going to go through the wrath of God? It's coming. It come in Lot's day. It come in Noah's day. It come in Israel's day. And it's going to come in America's day. The wrath of God. God does get angry. The Bible says he can get angry and not sin. Can you imagine what he thinks about this society that we live in? Aren't you glad tonight that you're saved from the wrath of God? Noah preached righteousness. But I'll tell you one thing. When the wrath of God fell, Noah went into the ark and he was saved. That man Lot, his spirit was vexed day in and day out. But when the wrath of God fell, Lot got out because he was found righteous. The nation of Israel, where are they at tonight? Scattered all over the world because the wrath of God has fallen upon them. Now, God's going to deal with them again in the future. But listen to me tonight. You better be glad and be exceedingly glad that you're not going to be under the wrath of God.
Amen.
Lost people fall under the wrath of God. not saved people. We're safe tonight. That's the model church. The church that knows they're saved from the wrath of God. Now notice the next one. In verse 9. For they themselves show us what manner of entering we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They were converted to God. That's a model church. Not converted to the ways of the world. Not trying to bring the world into the church, but to keep the world out of the church. Because they were converted to God. That word converted means that they had a change of mind, a change in the object of their affection, a change in their morals, their standard of right and wrong, and it was all personal. Salvation's personal.
That's right.
It's you and God, period. When you stand at death and stand in judgment, it'll be you and God, nobody else. Won't be somebody's opinion of you. It won't be somebody's judgment of you. It'll be you and God one-on-one when you stand before God in judgment. But if you're converted, if you've had a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of soul about your sins and where they are. I was reading all the verses this last week about where my sins are. It's amazing that God spent so much time trying to describe where our sins are. And I think the reason is because we're constantly calling them up. Satan's constantly accusing us of them. But you know, the Bible says they're in the depths of the sea. Yep. Did you know the deepest point man's been in the sea is over 7 miles? Did you know he can't survive over 60 feet in the water because of the pressure? And God says, my sins are in the depths. And then he said, I've cast them behind my back.
Yeah.
Is that not enough? He never turns around.
Nope.
He never makes a mistake. He said, I've thrown them as far as the east is from the west.
Yeah.
How far is that? I don't know. Long way. And then if that's not enough, he said, I put them under the blood.
Yeah.
Now watch this. Every sin that man will ever commit, ever has committed, is under the blood.
Yeah.
You say, now wait a minute. We have to confess daily. You do. They're already under the blood. You've asked Jesus into your heart. You say, wait a minute, now you're getting into eternal security. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us. Now, how many times are you going to confess the same sin?
That's right.
If it's under the blood. You say, yeah, but now we're supposed to forgive people. I agree. The Bible says 70 times 7. That's 490 times a day, I guess. But don't forget where your sins are already at. You've been converted. You're a Christian. You're part of the living organism, the church. And to be a part of that church, you changed your life. You said, well, I didn't have nothing to do with it. Oh, you didn't? You had to accept what Christ did. He did it all. But friend, until you accepted it, it did you no good.
That's right. Amen.
Did you realize tonight if everybody in this country won somebody to the Lord, and then that one won somebody, and that one. Did you know we could convert the world in less than 30 days? Did you know that 85% of people that come to church are invited by family members or invited by a friend? We've quit inviting people. We've let the media. My grandson told me the other day, he said, "Papa," he said, "well, they've told us now we can't say him and her in the military." I said, "Are you kidding me?" He said, "No, it's them or they." He said, "We can no longer say hold the fort down." That's an old saying. He said, "We can't say that anymore. Because of the offending of people." See? Everybody's afraid to offend somebody. You can't invite nobody to church. You might offend them. And we've let the media tell us that. Well, are we going to listen to the media? Or are we going to listen to God? It boils down to that. Now the third one. They were receivers of the word of God. Listen to verse 6. "And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word with much affliction." Now let me tell you something. If you're afraid that speaking up the word is going to cause affliction, then you'll never do it. Because people are going to hate you if you quote the Bible. People are going to scoff at you. They're going to laugh at you. They're going to scorn you. They're going to cuss you because they don't like the word of God. Look what the Bible says in Acts chapter 17. "Now when they had passed through Apollos and Apollonia and came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews, Paul, as his manner was, went into them 3 Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, open and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the base sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out of the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down have come thither unto us.'" We're not turning the world upside down. We've dug our little foxhole and dug in, shooting our pea shooter at the devil. And the world's going to hell. Because we're living in fear. We're afraid of the affliction. The church was born under affliction. Isn't that what it says here? He says, "And they troubled the people and rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and the others, they let them go." The Bible says they received the word under great affliction. Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will stand forever." Amen. We're quickened spirits that need the word of God. Now, the next one's in verse 8. "For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad." They were devoted to the service of God. That was their devotion. To serve God regardless. If it meant going out on the street and preaching, they were going to do it. If it meant walking through Walmart and inviting people to church, they was going to do it. If it meant standing out here on the street corner and with your Bible open reading it, they were going to do it. Now people think you're stupid. So what? They think you're stupid anyway. Everybody thinks everybody's stupid. You know. Well, they're crazy. Who would vote for such a thing as that? You tell me. I read just the other day that we've got 25 days of diesel fuel in stockpile. Now, common sense tells me that when you use up that 25 days, these big trucks are going to be sitting on the side of the road. And if they're sitting on the side of the road, guess what? Your grocery store is going to be empty soon. Wanting to spend billions of dollars on electric school buses. What happens if that bus breaks down in the middle of the run, those kids out there? Stupidity. Oh, now we got global warming. It was 80 today. Well, I think the record was set back in the 50s. Listen. The devil's got our minds off of everything that we need to have our minds on. He's got our minds on the things we have no control over. What do we control? Are we doing anything out of the ordinary? Are we just coming to church and enjoying the teaching and the preaching and going out and just living our lives? Do something different. Do something to make people talk about you in the right way. Do something different. Pull up to a red light, roll your window down, and saying, Jesus is coming soon. Amen. You hear somebody over here singing something they worth listening to. Why don't you let something out they're worth listening to? I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. I read a little article the other day that said, if I haven't hurt your feelings yet, hang around, it's coming. I like that. All right, notice the next one. They were saved from wrath. They were converted to God. They were receivers of the Word of God. They were devoted to the service of God. And then notice verse 10. They were looking for the Son of God. You think Noah was looking for Jesus to come? No, but he's looking for God to do something because he didn't build that boat for nothing. What do you think Noah thought after about 50 years nobody got saved? You think he sat down on Monday morning and thought, well, I've been preaching righteousness 50 years, nobody's got saved. God said, you keep it up. You keep it up. You keep the pitch in the boat. You build the boat, Noah. You're going to need it. You keep looking up. He is coming back. He did say this same Jesus that went away will come again. I didn't say that. He did. So they were looking for him to come back. Notice what verse 10 says. And to wait. I'm not a good waiter. Are you? And to wait. And to wait. Don't get excited. Sit down and wait. Stand up and wait. Come to church and wait. Go to work, but wait. What are you waiting on? He tells you here, wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. He went back to heaven. He's coming back from heaven. This same Jesus is coming back. Be not ignorant, brethren. He's coming back. The church is to be waiting for him. looking for Him, longing for Him. And I think the church, the true church, is getting there. I'm sick of this world. I'm like John, but even so come Lord Jesus. You said, what about all the lost people? They've had their chance. They've got it every day. 120 years, nobody got saved. I talk to preachers all the time. They never bring up lost people. I say, are you seeing anybody saved? No. Anybody walking the aisles? No. Is anybody lost? No. No, see, we've taken God's love and we put it out there so broad that God loves everybody. And when all's said and done, everybody's going to heaven. So if that be the case, if that's the lie that Satan's telling everybody, he said in the last days there would be a great falling away. People have fallen from the church. I look out over this congregation and we're old. One young guy back here. He said, I'm just 50. I'm not old. That's half century. Being 50 don't mean nothing. You know, you're just old as you feel. What do you feel? I feel about 90. If I want them feelings, I wouldn't do a third of what I do. Because I just don't feel like it. But I don't ride my feelings too hard. And you shouldn't either. So they were looking for Jesus to come. Isn't that good? I mean, it don't get any better than that. He could split the sky tonight. Nothing has to happen. I just told you we're living in the days of Noah and Lot.
We are.
And that's the main signs. Two more real quick. Notice verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word much affliction. Notice that last statement. They were joyful in the Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, we Free Will Baptists and Southern Baptists and some Methodists, some of them are not teetotalers. Some Presbyterians are not. But you know, we jumped all over that verse years ago. Be not drunk with wine. We don't believe in that wine drinking. I remember Richard Adams years ago, he said, there's 126 verses in the Bible that condemns drinking. And drinking causes a lot of problems. I've dealt with drinkers. I feel for them. It gets a hold of them and it's like drugs. You know, anything that possesses you, you do not possess. You understand that? But notice the last part of that verse. Be not drunk with wine. Amen. Praise God. But be ye filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I think sometimes the reason we can't get the job done is we're not filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Now watch this. You receive the Holy Spirit when you get saved. He's a person. The book of Luke says he is not given by measure. You can't receive a half a person. You know, You either take the whole or nothing. But you can be filled every day. You go to the doctor in the morning. He says you've got 6 months to live. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You wake up in the nighttime and your ears are ringing and it sounds like a wind's going through your head. I got news for you. You start crying out, "Oh God, fill me with the Holy Spirit and give me some sleep." How do you know that? It happened last night. And it's happened every night for a month. When you eat your supper and you hour later, your chest is heavy. It feels like an elephant sitting on you. And you can't get any relief. And you go to the hospital and they say you're having a heart attack. You need to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Amen? When you're walking through Walmart and you're meeting people, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit enough to say, "Are you a Christian? Do you know Jesus? Where do you go to church?"
Yeah.
And they'll turn their heels up, say, "None of your business, but you've done what you were supposed to do."
That's right.
The Bible says in the book of James, "He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not," what's the rest of it? It's sin. If you know to do right and you don't do it, it's sin. You can't excuse it. You can't dismiss it. It's sin. So, they were joyful in the Spirit. A happy and glorious privilege. Sons of God, children of God, brethren of God. As a little song said years ago, "I've got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart."
Yeah. Right.
The joy of what?
The Lord.
He just told you. The joy of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
We're scared of the Holy Ghost. I remember when Paul went into Athens and started preaching. He said, "You've got gods in every corner." He said, "I'm going to tell you about the unknown God."
Yeah.
Who was he? A Holy Ghost.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit. We think of spirits flying around, you know, and ghosts as being out there in the woods somewhere in a cemetery. No, no, that's not him.
No.
Don't be afraid of him.
No.
He's the best friend you'll ever have.
Amen.
Because when it comes time for you to cross chilly waters, he'll be there.
Yeah, that's right.
When the angel, when the nurse comes in and says, "Everybody get quiet," he's looking for a place to cross over. The Holy Spirit will be there.
Yeah. Amen.
And then the last one is in verse 7. "So that ye were examples." They were examples. The model church. They were saved from wrath. They were converted to God. Receivers of the word, devoted to his service, looking for the Son of God, joyful in the Spirit of God, and they were examples to others. Example of what? A believer.
Amen.
Just be different. Don't talk like the world.
No.
Don't act like the world.
Yeah.
Don't dress like the world. Don't look like the world. Be different. Be different. Be an example of what you believe the Bible says you should be. Be nice to people.
Yes, always.
Everybody's having it rough. You know? That guy that won that $2.9 billion, he ain't had rough. Money's not going to solve his problem. It's not going to solve your problem.
That's right.
The political system's not going to solve your problems. The market will go up and it'll come down. Things are going to stay like they are and get worse. You understand that? It can't get any better according to the Word of God.
Amen.
You say, wait a minute, preacher, I'm young. I've got my life ahead of me. Well, I've got news for you. The only life you've got ahead of you is a life with the Lord.
Amen.
That's all you've got ahead of you. The medical profession doesn't care about you. They put you on pills, tell you to come back next month and make their car payment. I'm telling you the truth. The judicial system could care less about you. The government could care less about you. You're just a statistic. The insurance business, they're just gambling that you're going to die and you're gambling you're not. I'm just telling you. That's life. That's real life. The only hope that we have in this world is the coming of the one who wrote this book.
Amen.
This is the truth.
Yes.
You won't hear the truth anywhere else except from this book.
That's right.
Because the world's definition of truth is not found in this book. The truth is, Jesus saves. That's the truth. But he can't save people unless they hear. And they can't hear unless you tell them. God in heaven, we thank you tonight for your word. Thank you for the model church. Lord, the church we need to be. Just help us to be faithful. The love you give us, the faith you give us, and the hope you give us. Help us to build every day on it. And we'll give you all the praise and glory because you're worthy. We're worthy of nothing. But your grace is sufficient. Go with us now. Keep us in your love and in your care. And help us to be nice to people. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God